Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'd like to use that reading out of John 4, where Jesus says to the woman that if you drink from the water that he gives, you will never be thirsty again. Here was a woman that, I don't know if she was preparing the noon meal or she was doing dishes afterwards, but she must have ran out of water, and so she made the walk to the well to get water because she thought water was what she needed. It turns out she was ignorant. She didn't know. Here was a woman who didn't know that she had a hidden need. She was probably famous in her community. It was a small town. In small towns, everybody knows everybody's business. Here was a woman who had gone through five husbands and was living with a boyfriend, and you could be sure that she was the subject of gossip all around the village almost all the time because she was either very unlucky in love or she had got around a little bit, but she must have felt like she had something to hide. And she surely must have stopped listening to the gossip a long time ago. Her conversation with Jesus makes me think she even used her sharp tongue as a weapon, that she was a bit sarcastic. And maybe that's a way to escape hurt, is to give the hurt back. It is a protection mode that allows you to ignore the things that you need. When I was a young pastor in Iowa, I decided to call on all of the inactive members of the church, and so I began to do that. One of them was kind of an unusual story. The gentleman I was calling on lived with his brother, and he was inactive, but his brother had been excommunicated by throwing the pastor out of his house. So it's a little tricky because I wanted to see the one guy, but I was a little nervous about the other guy, but I decided I would go to the house. If somebody mean answered the door and started yelling at me, I would leave. If they were holding a shotgun, I would run, but I would leave. So I got to the house, got to the gate of their yard. The sidewalk went right through the yard. And right across the gate was a German Shepherd about the size of a small pony. And it was growling a little at me, and the hair on the back of his neck was standing up, and so was mine. But I had learned, dealing with delinquent members, that if you just look at the dog the whole time, they won't bite you. I learned that, by the way, getting bit by a German Shepherd. So I looked at that dog all the way, and he backed up towards the house, and I walked to the house, and I got to the door, and the door burst open, and this big man roared out of there, and the dog hid behind me. I knew. Then I started getting nervous a little bit. If this is the dog's owner and the dog is scared, I should be worried. He said, "What do you want?" I said, Anyway, over time, I got to know him. And over the years, I would commune his brother and visit with him. And he was stubborn and never wanted to be reinstated in the church. But he talked about the incident a little bit. And he had thrown the pastor out of his yard, and he was sorry for it. And over time, it made me realize all he wanted was just for life to be back to normal again. He didn't want to be the famous guy that everyone knew about. It's my opinion that this is the secret longing this woman had. And maybe she didn't even know herself. When your life gets totally out of whack, what you really might just want is just to be normal again. When you live in a small town and you've been through five husbands and one boyfriend, it's an awfully unlikely longing. She appears to be one of those people that tried to find happiness. She tried hard to find joy. She at least tried several times to find joy. I get the sense that now she used her sarcasm and her wit to hide any remorse or shame that she might have so the village could not see what was really going on in her mind. I think we have all been there at one time or another. Here's a woman who locked away her shame in some dark corner of her mind, and she tried not to think about it ever again. Shame is an unruly prisoner. It might even be that quiet walk to the well was what set the prisoner free. When you have time to think, it can be lovely. It can be lovely. You can have time to think about what's good in your life or what's nice about the world around you. But when you have time to think, it can be dangerous, because that is when the remorse creeps in and the shame and the remembrance of things you have done wrong. She just went to the well to get water, and what happened next rocked her world. there in an obscure village, on that obscure mission, this obscure woman became famous all over the world. God will always find a way to find His people. I would like you to take some assurance from that. I know there are times when we worry about people that we know and we're afraid they have lost their connection to God, or they've expressed some anger towards God, or they've drifted away from the church. This doesn't take you out of the equation. I don't think we're allowed to just stand on the sidelines, but take some assurance. God always finds His people. He found this woman who was lost like a needle in a giant haystack by geography. She was removed from the mainstream of life. By her lifestyle, she was hidden from the way of God. And by her own decision, she had stepped away from the way of God. She hid even more behind conversation. She talked of worship and history, but Jesus saw the need. He had the power to look past sarcasm and the self-assurance, and He had the power to love someone who did not deserve it. And He found this woman when she was lost, and He saw her longing. How would you like to drink and not be thirsty anymore? It took a while. Finally, she saw the promise. She could drink and not ever be thirsty again. And she eventually realized they weren't talking about water anymore. They were talking about a way for her to walk through her village and not carry shame. They were talking about a way for her to start over brand new again. She left her water jar on the edge of that well, and she ran back to the village that knew all of her secrets, and she floated the idea of a miracle. She suggested a dream. She said to them, "Could it be that I have found the Messiah?" Sometimes life is less than we want it to be. And we grow accustomed to the way it is, to accepting life the way it is. And I know there's an idea, and maybe it's not a bad one, that contentment lies in accepting life the way it is, rather than your life being the way you want it to be. And maybe that's not a bad idea, but it can leave a kind of longing that hides in some corner of your heart, a longing for things just to be normal, or for you to feel good about your life again. Could we have a drink that would take away every thirst? Is there a new life out there for people like you and people like me? I think it is possible that we have an ignorance, just like this woman, that limits our spiritual joy. Here is the gift that Jesus gave over and over again. The woman caught in adultery. Simon Peter, who denied his Lord 3 times. This woman at the well. At no time did Jesus say sin was okay. He did not accept a wrong life and say it's just fine. But He accepted the person. He loved the person. What you don't know, what you and I cannot understand, is the depth of the love that Jesus has for you, and the depth of the love that Jesus has for me. When you have drifted away, when you have rebelled, you have been loved by the Savior. And perhaps He knows what you do not know, that the answer to your life of sin is the power to start over again. He loves you where you are. Check it out online. Google the castle in Edmond, Oklahoma, and you will see a house that is being built in Edmond, Oklahoma. It's a castle. He's applied for the permit, so it's going to be built. It has a tower that's 90 feet tall. It has a drawbridge. The square footage is 92,650 square feet. It will be the largest single-family residence in the United States of America. It will be in Edmond, Oklahoma. I suppose if you want to build a castle, and if you have the money, you should get to do it. It'll give lots of jobs to lots of people, but I wonder if it's a house that He's really after. I see so many people who try so hard, and what they're trying to be is special. And I don't believe they want to just be special. I think they want to feel special. And I wonder if this isn't finally what Jesus gives us. I know that we are not striving to be world famous. I know we are not striving to be the most powerful person, even in our neighborhood. But many times there is a longing somewhere inside of us to just feel special to somebody. Jesus gives us a promise that there is a way to feel special to the Creator of the universe. He came to take one woman who was out to dip water from a well, or one woman laboring long hours to make ends meet, or one man who is burdened by a life that has overwhelmed him, or someone like you, or someone like me. And he came to find them and to tell them they're special to him. They are special to God. And somewhere in each of us, I believe there is this longing that is met by the gift of forgiveness. Life is better. You are stronger when you know this one thing, that to God, you are special. God grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard this treasure we have in Jesus. Amen. At this time, we will receive our offering.